It's time for Taking Care of Business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Hello and a good evening to you all. It's Tuesday, the 17th of January, 2023. I'm Ronan Berry and you're very welcome to Taking Care of Business here on Midlands 103. Coming up between now and 8pm, the rise of influencer marketing, particularly as Bord Fáilte announced that it had spent €300,000 on influencers in 2021 and 2022 alone. I'll be joined in a while by Conor Cochrane, Mullingar's social media messiah. Conor's the founder of Social Media Elite and really an expert on everything social media and influencer marketing. So find out in a while how that might benefit your business. Also, you can meet the husband and wife team behind the Red Shed Organic Farm and Nursery. It began as a hobby, quickly turned into a business, and had a major announcement recently with the opening of a brand new store in Port Arlington. It's a fantastic story, and all of that coming from about 7:15 too. But before that, yesterday was a day that was like lots of days. It was marked by some occasion, and there's always a title put on these days. If I played this bit of music, it might give away which day I'm talking about. It is, of course, Blue Monday. Yesterday, the third Monday of January, we've now come to know it as Blue Monday. But says you, what actually is Blue Monday? Well, it's actually the name given to the third Monday of January every year, but it was set by a UK travel company, by Sky Travel, and they decided it was the most depressing day of the year. And they first published this idea back in 2005, so you kind of get the gist of where it came from. Somebody came up with the idea, it was a marketing ploy, and yet again, we seem to just grab onto it, and we were indeed influenced by it. So I discovered, or I found a post yesterday from Kyra Fingleton of Glamping Under the Stars, that fabulous glamping site down in Leash. And Kyra kind of poked a little bit of fun again at Blue Monday and said that they have the perfect remedy for Blue Monday, whether you believe in it or not. Kyra, are you a believer in Blue Monday?
Hi, Ronan. Well, I don't know if I'm a believer because obviously I'm aware that it's one of those makey-uppy days that there's so many of these times. But I have to say there is some truth in people wanting to book holidays and cheer themselves up at this time of the year because, well, based on our bookings alone, you know, the phone was ringing red hot yesterday, red hot phone on Blue Monday. And so I think there is that kind of, although the day itself has kind of filtered into our collective consciousness, that really, I don't know if you could mark it with a particular day, but certainly this time of the year, January, as soon as people are back to work after Christmas, our bookings and inquiries go through the roof. So there's definitely something to it.
So Sky Travel were onto something way back in 2005. Maybe you would wonder, maybe, is it just people are back at their desk in their workplace? They've got about a week's work behind them and now they're settling back into normal routine and start to maybe take their eye off the ball and look at maybe holidays and stuff like that. So it's been good for ye. And of course, your glamping site and your business, Glamping Under the Stars, it's getting huge international recognition. It's known for its, you know, everything about it really. And it's so unique. It's so bespoke as well. And you're champions of sustainability. What has the last year been like as we've kind of finally got out of that whole COVID and lockdown stuff? And what's on the cards with you for 2023?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because it's been so hard to predict the markets for travel, for the whole industry, really, and particularly for our own business. I mean, during the lockdowns and the sort of staycation years, I mean, it was good and bad for us over the COVID times with, you know, being closed was obviously a nightmare and all that uncertainty. And then when people could travel, the staycations were hot news, so we were super busy then, and things have kind of evened out a bit for us since then, but we found that a lot of people that came and stayed with us and enjoyed the campfire and the sort of outdoors experience during the staycation years have come back. So we've got an awful lot of loyal customers who return year on year, and we're certainly seeing people this year who've stayed with us several times before booking at this time of year to come back again. So, you know, it's all good, really. I think once people get a bit of a taste for the campfire and the glamping, then they're kind of hooked.
Do you think that people, as well, given what happened at Dublin Airport for about 6 months there with all the chaos and queues and that type of thing, do you think are people beginning to value as well that staycation even with the options that have opened up for them again. But that staycation where you can just throw stuff in the car, get a few nights away, somewhere different, and without all the hustle and bustle and the hassle of international travel.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of a hunger for international travel at first. And then, of course, as you say, the chaos in the airports kind of put people off a bit. So I think people are trying to get a balance of both. But certainly, we attract a lot of family groups who come and stay with us. And you know yourself, if you've got kids, especially if you've 2, 3, 4 kids, then traveling long distance can be quite complicated, and you need to really plan ahead and pack and try and placate everybody on the trip. It's a long journey, you know, are we there yet is something that you hear quite a lot. So we have a lot of families who come to us, especially during the summertime, and you know, it's an ideal family stay, and it's so handy just to, you know, the tents are all set up, the hobbit houses are very cozy, so there's something for everyone to experience that camping without having to put up tents or drag a caravan behind them. So they're kind of getting the best of both worlds, I think.
And with the skies open again, are you noticing an increase in demand from international tourists?
Well, some, yeah. Now, especially for events and things like that. I mean, we're just down the road from the Electric Picnic, and we had people from the UK, Scotland, and as far away as Germany and some of the Scandinavian countries came to stay with us for that festival. And the same, again, probably more so for the National Ploughing Championships, which were also held in Leash last year. So those kind of things would attract people from overseas. I suppose after that, it is mainly domestic tourists that come to us, but we are growing our international business. And I think we were a little bit on the back foot because of COVID that we didn't get to expand into overseas tourism as much as we would have liked to. But it's certainly something that we're going to be doing in the future.
And I'm going to be talking to another guest in a while about influencer marketing as well. Have you gone down the track yet of taking on an influencer, or is it something that you're able to do yourselves? I mean, you're certainly not backward when it comes to social media anyway.
Yeah, I love a bit of social media. We actually have, we had two influencers stay with us last summer. And one had a massive following, and we were actually approached by Ireland's Ancient East. And it was part of a kind of a promotional activity for the whole of Leash and Ireland's Ancient East. So they sort of allocated us an influencer to come and stay with us. And she had a massive following. So it was really interesting to see how that worked. Now, obviously, it wasn't specifically for her own business, although she was staying with us. But, you know, she took photographs and she went and did lots of activities locally around Leash and posted about them. So we actually got a huge leap in followers on our Instagram page during the time that she was here, which was really interesting. And then we had a smaller, a more niche influencer stayed with us as well later in the summer. And that was organized by Leash Tourism. And that was probably more our target audience, which would be families with young children. And she was absolutely lovely, and she took loads of videos, and we were able to reach a little bit of a different audience. And just in terms of creating content for us, it was great to have, you know, I'd be taking photographs and making videos and telling people about what we're doing. But I think you can't beat somebody else's third party explanation of what it's really like to stay here. And I think probably that's why it works well. We get an awful lot of word of mouth recommendations from friends, and word spreads that way. But this is probably a quicker way to kind of speed that process up.
Interesting. So it is effective. And if you get somebody with a certain following, and particularly if it, you know, if there's a certain demographic in that followers too, it can benefit your business. And it's quite fascinating that you're seeing that bounce in terms of inquiries or website hits afterwards. So there clearly is something in it. So I'm going to delve a bit deeper into that with Conor Cochran from Social Media Elite a little bit later too. But one thing, I suppose, you mentioned there about, you know, we're talking about growing followers, about growing the business too. You never sit still when it comes to glamping under the stars. You're constantly adding new features as well. What's in the pipeline for the year ahead?
Yeah, well, I suppose we've always got something up our sleeves. We're actually, at the moment, we're kind of looking at, the year before last now, because we're already into 2023, we launched our Hobbit Village, which was kind of a huge deal for us. It doubled our capacity, and it gave us something that really nobody else in Ireland can offer. So, you know, we were absolutely delighted to have that. So we're still obviously feeling the positive effects of having something so different. And kind of hoping to develop the original site, which is more kind of classic glamping. So we're looking at maybe a few ideas down there. I can't say too much yet until it's kind of happening, but yeah, we've definitely got ideas. And the other thing we're looking at is maybe branching into wellness retreats, because that's something that we think there's a call for, and that we're ideally situated with being in nature and kind of the taking a step back and relaxing. And it is a very soothing, back to basics kind of experience. And even sitting around the campfire and chatting with other people is quite a primal experience. And so we've had a lot of feedback from people who are interested in that field to say, you know, you should be doing this. So it's certainly something we're going to look at.
As I said, always something in the pipeline, or always something brewing in that pot as well. For anyone listening that maybe might be trying to think of maybe a nice weekend away or a few nights away, even for Valentine's Day, midterm, how can they find out more about you, and how can they go about making a booking?
Okay, well, actually, we are due to reopen in March, so we won't, unfortunately, we won't be available for Valentine's. But March onwards, we have you can book online at our website, which is www.glampingunderthestars.ie. A lot of our weekends are booked already, actually, but we do have some availability through the Easter break and the summertime. And if it's a group booking, then to contact me directly, just by email or DM online. We get a lot of hen parties and intergenerational family groups quite often would come and book out the whole site. That's another possibility. But
there's an idea for the listeners anyway. Intergenerational family holiday too. Yeah, look at that.
That's bring exactly. Bring granny and granddad.
Yeah, bring them all. That's exactly. Look, and you know what? I think there's definitely a desire for that out there. You know, to get the whole family out and just to do something a little bit different and get people together, as you say, sit around a campfire, tell stories, and just go back to nature a little bit. All under the you know, absolutely amazing care of yourself and your family there, Ciara. Thank you so much as always. All the very best for 2023, and talk to you again soon.
And to you. Thanks so much, Ronan.
And that is Ciara Fingleton there from Glamping Under the Stars, a fantastic leash glamping site that is going from strength to strength as well, and always looking for the next opportunity and adding to the phenomenal service that they've developed down there. And interesting how Ciara speaks about influencers, what it was like when two influencers came to stay, and the impact that had in terms of website hits and the interest it generated in their business. That'll lead nicely into my 7:30 slot, where I'm going to speak at depth about the power of influencers and how an influencer can actually really help your business, irrespective of the size that it is. And Conor Cochrane from Mullingar's Social Media Lead is really an expert on this. They've also set up iconmanagement.ie, which manages a number of Irish influencers. And there is some fascinating stories and staggering statistics behind those businesses and behind that whole concept. So Conor will be along shortly to talk to us about that. Still to come this evening, we will look at the power of social media and indeed influencers and what they can do for your business, and whether it's something that you should consider irrespective of the size of the business or company that you're running. And also, to finish off the show, we'll pay a little bit of a tribute to a woman who passed away this week, and she was widely known as the voice of the National Ploughing Championships and also worked a lot of the Tullamore Show. And it would pay a short tribute to her later on too, because there's been a huge outpouring of sadness at her passing at the age of 88. So more on that to come. But first, I'd like to introduce you to Tracy Lunam from Port Arlington. And Tracy, along with her husband, they began growing organic vegetables a number of years ago, created a business out of it. And all of a sudden, you know, there was a huge announcement last week. But before we get into all the details and the what and the how, the staggering thing about them is they don't come from traditional farming backgrounds. Tracy, very good evening. What came upon you, and why did you decide to start growing organic vegetables for sale and ultimately setting up the Red Shed Organic and Farm and Nursery?
Yeah, so I suppose when I met Cormac, they had tunnels and things at home, and he always kind of took it on as a hobby. And then he was a plasterer by trade at that time. And then when he got an opportunity, I suppose, to start doing it, and working for an organic farmer. And it kind of went from there. He was working there for about 2.5 years. And I think he just had it in him. He wanted to do this for ourselves, to build a family business.
That's no small task to set yourself as well, to build a family business, because it is really, it's yourself, even the kids get involved in it too. But
Yeah.
How did you go then about setting up, like, you know, in terms of getting even the land or the space to actually start growing vegetables? And indeed, how did you select what vegetables you were going to start growing?
So we got an opportunity to get a little bit of organic land. There's about 3 acres there. And I suppose with us, we try and grow everything, like anything that we grow. And we have 4 polytunnels. They grow all your, you know, your summer and spring salads and things like that. And then we have the field where you grow all your winter crops, all the harder root vegetables and things like that. And we also have 2 tunnels which are used for propagating, because we also have a nursery as well. So we supply the plants, the vegetable plants, to like garden centres.
So with being organic, and especially the seasonality of the vegetables and plants, is quite important. You have to kind of work to what is kind of naturally growing at a particular time of the year.
Absolutely, because all growing and vegetables, you know, it's all weather dependent, and you're in Ireland, so it doesn't always go to plan. But yeah, we just, you know, there's times where you kind of have to take a hit on things and learn, and we're just doing that. We're just, anything that can be grown here, you know, we're trying it, seeing how it goes. And last year, so far, so good. So we're just going to go again this year.
So it's fine having all that fantastic produce, but getting it to your customers and getting to market is the next phase of it. How did you go about doing that?
Yeah, that is definitely, you know, it's the hard part. We started in Solace. We have our market in Solace. And then we also do like door-to-door delivery. So at the moment we are delivering nationwide. We cover Laois, Kildare, Offaly ourselves. And then we, the rest we do with a courier. So we can actually deliver all over Ireland.
All right. So again, for something like vegetables, people might be surprised to hear that. How is that service going for you? And how did you go even about, say, setting a pricing structure around that? Because I'm sure deliveries don't come that cheap. But again, yeah. Is it just back? Obviously, something you're doing is really working for your customers.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's not easy in this, you know, at this time to, you know, to get it out and to make sure that you get it next day delivery, to make sure that it's, you know, in the van. But so far, so good. You know, we deliver to like restaurants in Limerick, we deliver down to Cork, and literally it gets picked up in the evening and it's dropped the next morning. You know, everything is really good. And, you know, we have to charge a delivery price for that. And, you know, I think people expect it, so it doesn't, you know, so it goes really well. You know, they're happy to pay it because the produce is good, and they're happy with the service, so they'll pay for that.
That's fantastic, especially given, you know, over the last 5 or 10 years, the amount of publicity has gone on some of the bigger supermarkets and, you know, the Super 6 on a weekly basis, and the price that vegetables are being sold at. So it's quite interesting and it, dare I say, positive to hear that people are willing to, you know, pay the delivery charges for quality produce. So, but when it came to getting the name of your business and indeed, you know, your product in front of people, then how did you go? Like, did you use social media? How did you get such a name? I mean, if you're supplying restaurants and supplying vegetables all across the country, you're doing something behind the scenes.
Really, it was just, I suppose, the market, just meeting people, chatting with them, telling them our story, you know, letting them like into our little world. And I think that just seemed to work for us, and the vegetables, the produce, it just spoke for itself, and it kind of went from there. But like, we have an Instagram, Facebook, and like social media is a big part of it. You know, you have to be on top of it, you have to be always on it, you know, letting people know what you're doing, where you're doing it, where you're going to be, and what we're doing at the farm. You know, I suppose for us, we're a family run business at the moment. It's Cormac is out on the farm all the time. I do the little bits, but we also have like 3 kids as well, and make, you know, getting them involved and making sure that they're looked after. But, you know, it's a lot. So I think people do appreciate it.
But it's not that you're sitting back and resting on your laurels either, that you've recently opened up a shop in Port Arlington.
So it's a farm shop. So basically we have the shop on the farm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, but a big venture, I'd imagine, as well. Like, you know, coming from, like, you're only set up a few short years as well, to go that route of creating a farm shop too. I mean, what was that? Was it just led by kind of customer demand, or was it just something that you took a bit of a leap of faith in?
A bit of both, I suppose. We're only in business a year. We kind of always had it that we wanted to open up a farm. I suppose open up to the public, what we do. This is us. This is how hard we work. And this is how we get the food that you have and that you're buying. And, I suppose for us, it was just another way to get to know our customers and get them to know us.
Absolutely. And as you say, it's almost like if you want to know about me, come live with me too.
And and that's it. And as I suppose being January, the field is, it's wet. It's there's not a lot going on there at the moment. And we can show every month, it's literally growing with us. The customers are watching it grow. And that's what we want for them.
And that's, there's huge meaning in that as well. And again, fantastic to hear that people are looking at that kind of, the provenance of the food they're eating, and hopefully it continues. But within your farm shop then, is it just your own produce at present, or will you ultimately stock stuff from other local producers?
So we're certified organic. So at the moment we have our own produce, and then we have, we do work with other organic, we have the Murray Mill porridge. We get in chocolate, there's coffee that we bring, that we can get all organically. There's a good selection, milk, cheese, yogurt, eggs, so we have a good stock of everything. So it's kind of like your one-stop shop. You don't, when you come to us, you can pick everything from our own farm, and any other produce you need, you can get it there.
That's an interesting year if you're only a year in business already. How are yourself and Cormac getting on? All going well? It was a big change when you go and start working together.
We're still here anyway, so it's fine.
That's a start. And the kids, they're enjoying the whole journey too in the process, I'd imagine.
I think for us, I suppose that was the most important thing, that, we can do this for the kids, and we can bring them along on our little journey, and they can watch it grow as well as us. And, I'm not sure yet whether they will have interest in it or not, but they will learn, as they grow, what it's all about.
I suppose a really important question for all the parents that might be listening, or from the parents, when the kids see what's happening and they see the vegetables growing, are they more interested and more curious at trying new vegetables?
I definitely think so, because, anything that we've always had on the farm, my kids will take a bite out of ginger and things because it looks a bit different. They might like the taste and they don't know, but they will try it. And even for us, we make juices out of all the, out of all the fruit and the veg, and everything goes into it. They don't know any difference. They'll drink it like it's a drink because they watch us drinking it.
Absolutely. No, fantastic, and a great example to set, not just for your own kids, but for everybody as well. Tracy, before I let you go, can you just tell people how can they find out more about the Red Shed Organic Farm and Nursery?
Yeah, no problem. You can look us up on Instagram. We are at the Red Shed Organic Farm, and on Facebook, we're the Red Shed Organic Farm and Nursery. Usually that's where we are. We're pretty much updated every day.
And you're there, you're behind the scenes, you're active on it as well. But look at Tracy, fair play to yourself and Cormac. Great story, year in business, things are going really well. Hopefully that continues, and all the best to yourself and the family, and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Ronan, I appreciate that.
Not at all. And that's Tracy Lunham there from the Red Shed Organic Farm and Nursery, based over in Port Arlington there. And as Tracy said, you can follow them there across all the main social media channels. If you want to get in touch with me here in the studio this evening, by the way, you can do so, of course, by text or WhatsApp on 083 3010 103. Maybe if you're an influencer out there, you might just pop a message and say hello, because influencers are all the rage when it comes to driving your business and need marketing it online through social media. So much so that Bord Fáilte spend almost 300,000 on influencers in 2021 and 2022 alone. So people like former Miss Universe Ireland Roz Purcell, even Baz Ashimawi and his son Jake, featured in an ad for Hookhead Lighthouse. Greg O'Shea, from Love Island fame, originally now a TV presenter, he has over 900,000 followers on Instagram alone. So these people, when they pay a visit to your business or maybe promote a product, can drive real traffic and real interest. And that's been proven actually by Kyra Fingleton at the top of the show, saying how their venue, Glamping Under the Stars, after two influencer visits, noted substantial increase in online activity on its websites and its social media channels too. So clearly it is making a difference. So to dig a bit deeper into this and see how much an influencer can do and what an influencer might do for your business, and determine whether it is something that is there and an option for SMEs or for micro enterprises. I'm delighted to be joined by Conor Cochrane from Social Media Elite in Mullingar. Now, Conor's also director of iconmanagement.ie and Viral Media Agency, and they really are at the forefront of everything that's happening in terms of marketing and digital marketing. And dare I say, I think if there is a new trend in digital marketing, Conor and his team are way ahead of the posse and are probably far ahead of anybody else, and such is their knowledge of this area. Conor, there's an introduction now that you're going to find it hard to live up to.
Wow, that's unbelievable, Ronan. Thank you very much.
Conor, you're probably,
what to say after that?
you're probably becoming an influencer in terms of social media marketing, and I suppose your business background goes right back to your school days, so you're somebody who always knew how to, you know, spot an opportunity and, you know, do the marketing piece and help drive a product or, you know, a business or something new that's been created out there, and you've helped numerous businesses all across the country and indeed across Europe and the UK over the intervening years as well. So take it back. Influencers, they've become a big thing in terms of marketing. Can you just give us an overview or a kind of a snapshot of what influencers are doing and how they're helping brands at the minute?
Yeah, of course. So an influencer, in very simple terms, is it's a person with a significant online presence. And that may be in a niche like fashion, beauty, that can go to any scale at all. And with that, it can be from a micro influencer, which could be a couple of thousand followers, up to what you'd call like a macro influencer, which would be into the hundreds of thousands of followers. And what happened for them is they've built that following by being kind of trusted people online, experts in their area. So if they're a beauty influencer, people really trust their opinion on beauty products, what they should be using on their skin, their face, etc. And in turn, then they create a business for themselves by brands then actually saying, will you work with my brand? And they obviously make revenue for promoting that brand's product as well.
I think that might surprise a lot of people that, you know, influencer, it really has become, you know, a very, very, for many people, a very profitable business when you get it right. So how does an influencer go about, I suppose, creating that trust in the first instance? Is it, as you say, just experience within a particular area or sector, or what else is driving that development and that building of trust between the influencer and then the audience?
Yeah, it's actually quite an interesting one, because a lot of influencers have started not setting out to be an influencer. Now, nowadays, younger people coming up are actually trying to be influencers. But the market that we see today is often people who've gone online, maybe posted one or two topics or videos, and people are like, oh, I really like what they're saying. I like their expertise. They really know what they're talking about. And they start to build up a following from there. So quite natural. So if you were a makeup artist, maybe you put up pictures of you in different makeup looks and you could really appreciate their skills and talent. And then you kept following them and they built an audience like that. But we are seeing this younger generation audience come along that are actually actively trying to become an influencer. So they are trying to find a niche. They are trying to build an audience in that and build a trust in that place. And the trust is very important, because that comes over a period of time, as you mentioned there, Ronan, that a person has been putting out content over quite a period of time. And you're kind of like, I really trust their opinion. So when they do promote a brand, it's not just for money. It's actually, they're promoting that because they actually really can stand over that. And that's what probably separates them from being quite spammy.
Is the rise of the influencer then, is that actually now really dictating marketing spend from a lot of companies? Are they beginning to put more focus on using influencers? Or how is that kind of split coming between, say, more traditional social media marketing now and then looking at possibly an outlay or getting an influencer on board?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So if you look over the last 10 years, how people have started to invest more from maybe traditional marketing forms into more digital forms. And over the last few years, people really zone in on like Facebook ads, Instagram ads. But in the last couple of years, every single year, there's been a significant increase in budget allocated to influencers. Last year alone, there was over 28% increase in that space. This year, it's predicted to increase 26%. So people are putting 26% on average more budget into influencers this year than last year, which was an increase of 28%. So it's huge growth every single year. And the reason is because they're delivering results.
That's staggering if you think of, you know, how it took a long time for marketing budgets to shift from the more traditional format into maybe digital, or to look for that separation between them. That's a huge change in a short space of time. But I mean, given your own background with social media and, you know, management and traffic generation and conversion optimization and the stuff that you've done so well, you've really kind of looked at that whole thing a few years ago of the influencer, and setting up iconmanagement.ie has been a huge part of your business. So take us through some of the influencers that you currently manage, and maybe talk to us as well about the impact that they can have for a business.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose in Social Media Elite, we very much focus on kind of paid digital ads. And what we started to notice several years ago was people were looking for, well, actually, if I was to work with an influencer, who would I work with? How would I go about it? So it was very a new space completely. And there wasn't much transparency or trust between a business and an influencer because it was very new. My partner, Sarah, kind of, she heads up Icon Management, and she kind of really wanted to kind of create a trusted place where that you could work with an influencer and there was transparency right the way through in terms of what you're spending, what campaign you're getting, and then a report on your results. And on the other side, to create a trusted partnership with influencers. So influencers felt like they could really have like a little team behind them. So whether it was financial advice, whether it was brands they should work with advice, and personal growth. Because influencers are actually quite a lonely game. At the end, often the influencers we work are girls, maybe mid-20s, and they're often working at home for long times by themselves. So to have that bit of team and support is very important. So that's kind of how Icon came about. The type of creators we work with are very much probably beauty, fashion, and entertainment based. We would have Kaylee MUA, who would be the leading beauty Instagram person in Ireland. She would have like 600,000 on Instagram and 3 million on TikTok. We would have Aidan Kate, Ellie Kelly, Charlene Murphy, Chloe Coyce, Lauren Whelan, and there's just to name a few. And really, Icon tried to work with creators who we can really feel like we can build a significant relationship with them and growth on their journey as well.
And that involves obviously the creating that content creation, but also the, you know, all the digital marketing stuff and materials that need to be produced with that too. And also giving them that almost that outlet as well, because it's quite interesting when you say it could be quite a lonely job given, you know, on the surface what it looks like, you know, you're getting to try these products or you're getting to travel or maybe experience certain experiences around the country, around the world. So quite interesting here that it could be painted as almost being a bit lonely as well. But when you mention something like 3 million TikTok followers, how does somebody go about gaining that level of followers? And is it worth it? Because are they not just random, you know, click farms that are set up or somewhere in the Middle East and it's all not worth it? There must be something in it. What is it about it like and having that sort of a following on TikTok?
Yeah, like, look, of course, there will be people out there that might not have as genuine followers, but we have an API, that we would actually be able to see the followers of an influencer, where they're from, the age, the engagement, how they've got them followers. So we can really verify the audience that they have. So if we take Kaylee, for example, there, who has 3 million followers, she would be known for makeup. She would probably be in the world known as one of the most creative makeup artists in the world. So she creates very much incredible once-off makeup looks that people would see on TikTok, and they would go viral. And some of her videos would have millions upon millions of views and very genuine views and genuine followers. And that audience is built on the quality and the talent and skill that she would have. So the influencer is building that audience on trust that people really can appreciate what that person does online.
And that has also opened up, I remember you being out with me last year, that's opened up a global market, because from Mullingar, there is product now being shipped right across the world based on the content being created.
Yeah, absolutely. So Kaylee's business, Cash Beauty, which is an online business, it's now in some retailers, but that is sold to 100 countries worldwide. And that's because a 3 million following obviously isn't all Irish. It's from followers all over the world. So people see her create this makeup look. They say, what product is she using? Maybe on her eyes, her face, whatever it is. She tags that product. And from wherever you are in the world, you go on and purchase that product. And it's shipped all across the world to 100 countries.
So for any business listening at the minute, be it large or small, and they're looking at maybe where their marketing spend is going in the next year, and they've put the money aside for radio already, and they're going to do a bit of print media and the usual stuff then, but and they want to look then at maybe the online spend, and they're not sure where to go about it, and then they're also curious about an influencer. Is an influencer an option for almost all businesses, or are there any pitfalls or anything that people should be looking out for?
Yeah, very simply, yes, they are suitable for all businesses. So obviously we've mentioned a couple of influencers there that would have significant followings, so it would be more expensive. But there will be micro-influencers, right down to even a local level. So if you take in the Midlands, a town like Tullamore or Mullingar, there will be someone in that region that might have 5,000 followers, 10,000 followers, who could have a significant impact. And in terms of how you work with them, if you're looking for someone like a micro-influencer, that might be reaching out to them directly and trying to come up with them. It might be using an agency like Icon Management, who will actually say, look, I have this business, this is how much I have to spend, and this is the result I want. And they will then be able to source the best influencer, because they'll have the results to be able to see, and at the best price for you as well, because they'll have a different audience or a different relationship with them. So where possible, of course, you can use an agency. But if it's a small, localized level, there will be small micro influencers that will be suitable for any size business.
I suppose if you're active on social media, you probably have an awareness of who they might be already. And it could be just, as you say, a case of reaching out to that more micro influencer, or you go to the agency if you want that bigger one. But I think certainly when you speak about things like TikTok and the power of reach, and you know, companies are being built on the back of this, and even, you know, now selling products all across the globe. When you look at the year ahead, what are the big ticket? Like, is TikTok the place to be? Is Facebook a thing of the past? Or what are you kind of advising clients to do at present? Or what's the next big thing that might be coming?
Yeah, it's a very good question, because if we had this, and we would have had a similar conversation 12 months ago, it would even be completely different today. And that's how fast moving digital is. So if someone was getting a lot of success on Facebook 7-8 years ago, maybe they're struggling today, or maybe they're getting a little bit more momentum on it. So it depends on your business and depends on your audience. So what you're seeing now is different age demographics using different platforms. So for example, Facebook will be an older demographic, right down to maybe Snapchat, which will be a younger demographic. So what you really need to understand is where your customer is at, and then you need to build a full digital strategy around that. That may be Facebook ads, it may be Instagram ads, TikTok ads, email, Snapchat, Google. But what I'll be saying is you can't just do one anymore. So now, to be really successful in the digital space going forward, you probably have to do several of these, depending on your business and your audience, if not all of them, to be successful online. And influencers, as I've mentioned, is a key part of that, with budgets increasing every single year in this space.
And of course, all those platforms effectively now offer, you know, the online shop. You can purchase goods, or at least get straight to how to actually purchase goods through those things as well. So you need to have all that up to speed too, I'd imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, if you have an e-commerce business, you'll be able to, you know, spend €100 and track, did I make €1,000 back? Everything will be tracked. So it's black and white for you. And it allows your business to actually scale quite easy then. So if you spent €1,000 last month, if we spent €2,000, can we double our results? On the other side, if you haven't got an e-commerce business, you can really drive awareness, reach, you know, so you can measure different metrics that is really important to you. But if you are spending proper money in it, it's important to get the right advice, because people can waste a lot of money not knowing how to spend it in this space. So that's quite important, that if you're not getting results in this space, it's because you're not spending it right. It's not because it doesn't work. This works for everyone. It's just a matter of spending it right.
And just about figuring out that magic formula and then going for there and getting those millions upon millions of followers and becoming that world famous influencer. Maybe it'll be me someday, Connor.
Absolutely. Why not,
Connor? Why not? Connor, as always, it's an absolute pleasure to get your input on these important topics as well. And all the very best with Social Media Elite as you move through the year.
Thanks a lot. Best of luck with everything, Ron, and great show.
Thanks a million, Connor. Connor is the Managing Director of Social Media Elite in Mullingar, and also involved with iconmanagement.ie and Viral Media Agency. Fascinating stuff happening, as I say. If it's happening and if it's worth your business taking a look at, Connor and his team probably know about it 2 years ahead of that as well. So keep an eye out on what they do. Check them out across all the social media channels, of course, and keep an eye on the great work that they're producing. All from Mullingar. Great Mullingar team, local business, doing great things on a national and international level. Tributes are being paid to the late Carrie Acheson, who's passed away aged 88 years. She was known as the voice of the National Ploughing Championships and indeed also the Tullamore Show. But she was much more than that too, including being a Fianna Fáil TD and a councillor in Tipperary. Early this morning, Will Faulkner paid a short tribute to her on Midlands Today, and he was speaking to Assistant Managing Director of the NPA, Anna-Marie McHugh. But this piece begins with Carrie herself speaking a few years ago and talking about how she first got the job of being the announcer at the ploughing in the first place.
We sold farm machinery at home, my family, and the local ploughing club asked me when Tipperary was being revamped as a Tipperary ploughing. There was 28 men and me. So I was the chairman. So I was with those soldiers with them. I think the man got sick or something and they just said, Carrie, you go in there and do that. But it's very light work. I remember one time I was a member of 18 committees. If you open your mouth at a meeting, you're on the committee. And I could never keep mine closed, so I was on all the committees.
Yeah, I'm just listening to that piece, Will, and a couple of things that she said. You know, number one, about getting the job. You know, a job is right. Like, Carrie created the persona. Or, you know, we never made a plan that, you know, the public address system at the time would take a life of its own. And it did with Carrie doing it. And she just kind of developed it and grew that whole section of the ploughing. And, you know, even in death there by playing that piece, you know, she'd bring a smile to your face because she was just such a character. And I suppose, you know, something that we're thinking a lot of in the last couple of days is that, you know, people that, everyone's so used to her voice and people would recognise Carrie's voice. But if you had the privilege to have met Carrie, you know, it was a whole different scene altogether because she made such an impression with you. You never forgot Carrie. That's one thing for sure. Even if you only met her for a moment, you never forgot the woman. And, you know, lost children, lost keys, lost everything. But it didn't end at that. The likelihood is during the time that was passing between, you know, somebody being found or somebody coming back to Carrie to say, yes, I'm here and whatever, because it could be older people, it could be families that she was reconnecting, whatever it would be, but she'd have to investigate who they were, where they came from, who they were related to, right, what they worked at. And invariably, more often than not, there would be a follow-up card after the event to say, I'm delighted that you were there. And every single card, always, and every single card that Carrie sent was a hand-picked, relevant card, always, even up to the one that we received here 2 weeks ago at Christmas time. And there was little guys standing on the front of the car, penguins, on the front of the car, little penguins, and she just put a note on the inside, are they queuing for tickets for the ploughing? There'd always be a line.
Brilliant.
But she was an absolute character. She was so vibrant. As she said there, you know, about that she couldn't stop talking. She'd have to be on every committee because she added so much to everything she was ever involved in. And that really, you know, that says it all. She really did. She added something to everything she was involved in, always. She was so colourful, fantastic clothes. Oh, my goodness. And a maid would always be waiting. Tuesday morning at the ploughing, what's Carrie wearing today? Wednesday morning, what's she wearing? What hat?
A fear of being upstaged, was there?
Oh, it never came into it. You because Carrie was number one on the fashion stage.
Right.
Always. No one, and I may would say that to yourself, always. She wouldn't even try and go down the same road as Carrie because Carrie just had a way of putting things together. And, you know, a sign of the woman, she had become very frail in recent years, and I'm sure you noticed that probably at the Ed Tullamore show when she was at it last. But, you know, that was always camouflaged with Carrie. You wouldn't see that, you know. The nearest I could compare it to would be the Queen, insofar as didn't we see the Queen on TV the day before she died?
Indeed.
Because she didn't let down the armour, that she was a lot weaker than she appeared. And Carrie was the very same. You know, she had to be helped quite a lot this year in 22 at the ploughing, but she made it there, she stayed over, she made it in and out each day, and there was no way she was going to let down the site or let down ploughing. She was a real country woman at heart. She loved her people and loved Tipperary.
That's Assistant Managing Director of the National Ploughing Association, Anna-Marie McHugh, paying tribute to the late Carrie Acheson, the voice of the National Ploughing Championships and the Tullamore Show, and much more beyond, the Fianna Fáil TD and a local councillor. And Anna-Marie also went on to say that she was an advisor to them as well and always there to offer a helping hand and a supportive ear. May she rest in peace, and our condolences to all her family. And sad to think we won't hear that voice at the Ploughing Championships anymore. But anyway, that's it from me for this evening. Hope you've enjoyed this evening's show. Joe Cooney is outside waiting to come in for Country Roads after news at 8 p.m. I'll be back next Tuesday from 7 p.m. as always. Stay safe, have a good week. Talk to you all then.
Taking Care of Business returns next Tuesday at 7 p.m. with the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.